praise you, the Lord Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for our brother opening his mouth to testify of our Lord Jesus Christ. He that is not ashamed of me before me, I will not be ashamed of you before the angels either. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our last opportunity, Lord, to bring in the harvest. Help us, Lord, oh God, to be found doing exactly that when you say come up here. In the mighty name of our Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. As we read the scriptures tonight, Lord, we trust you as always, Lord, that you will bless us. Bless the reading of your word tonight. Father, in Jesus' name, our Lord, we pray.
Amen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. We've gone to the 20th chapter of the book of Revelation now. We are never in our holy village, you know. And there are interventions, other messages in between that. We're going to move on tonight by God's grace. So let me read the first few verses of Revelation 20. We spend a lot of time on just 19th chapter alone. There we saw the coronation of Christ. There at the end of it we saw the beast and the first worker and the lake of fire. And many things in there. Tonight we're going to go to the 20th chapter by God's grace. I will read the first few verses of that chapter. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he lay hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed in a few seasons. I will jump to verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophets are, and shall be tormented day and night, and forever and ever. And chapter 14, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We are skipping any verses in there because we can't cover that chapter tonight either. You know, there's so much to bring in there. So I just read the relevant verse of tonight. In there, that chapter, I'm going to see that Satan, will be loose again to come and try the camp of the saints and so on. We're going to all that one in the future, the Lord willing and so on. And then, you know, the white throne judgment will come and all those things. But tonight, I just read those verses to talk about the destiny of wicked spirits. Praise the Lord. See, the destiny of wicked spirits. Here in the 20th chapter of this book I just read now, the Bible speaks of three definite locations in the spirit world which have been prepared for the confinement of various classes of wicked spirits, either temporarily or permanently. That's what we are dealing with tonight and so on. The destiny of wicked spirits. Now, since Hades or hell is a more familiar term to many people, we begin from there. Praise the Lord. See? But because tonight, talking about three of them. First is Hades, called Sheol in the Old Testament. Secondly, we talk about the bottomless pit or the abyss. And thirdly, talk about the lake of fire, you know. And I just read much about that lake of fire just now, you know. But we begin with Hades, which is more familiar with many people. Hades or hell is the more familiar one. So we begin from there tonight. And we won't spend too much time just on this destiny of wicked spirits. We just talk about it tonight. Next time, we go into the 20th chapter and something like that, you know. So Hades or Sheol. In the Old Testament, hell is translated from the Hebrew word Sheol. You see, that's what my brother was talking last month, talking about hell, right? So there was no hell.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Anyway, in the Old Testament, hell is translated from the Hebrew word Sheol. Of course, the New Testament is written in Greek, right? And in the New Testament, it's called Hades, New Testament and so on like that, you know. Both terms, as far as we know, are identical. and they refer to the same abode of the dead. Where the Lord, according to what he does, the Lord gave a vivid and solemn description. We're talking about Hades now. The more familiar one or head, the more familiar one that people know and so on. The Lord gave a vivid, solemn description of the condition in Hades in his account of the rich man and Lazarus, which should be familiar to many Bible readers in Luke chapter 16. And a really part of that, you know, the Lord described Hades, what it's like in there and something like that, you know. So in Luke 16, I begin for the 19th verse. And there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day, the Bible says. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass, the Lord said, that the beggar died, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. Nothing was mentioned about the angel carrying him, right? Maybe some devil carry him, we don't know, but we just stay there. And in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. So I will just stop right there. You know, that's the narration that the Lord gave. So if an ordinary man was to be telling these things, maybe we would have stopped there. But the Lord had insight to the spirit world, amen? Amen. He is the Lord of all, praise the Lord. He's the creator of all, blessed be the name of the Lord. So he went for that, you know, if another man was given that one, we would have stopped. But the Lord, having a vivid understanding and knowledge of the spirit world, he went for that. So, and the Lord continued the story. Well, for our enlightenment and our understanding, God permitted, well, we call him Dives. Dives is a traditional name for the rich man, really. I don't know how many people know that. Call it Dives, you know. So, anyway, for enlightenment, the Lord allowed him, to converse with Lazarus on the other side of the great gulf. If you read the old chapter, you know, that lie between the two compartments, you know. In his desperation, in that chapter, the rich man begged that Lazarus might dip his finger in water and come and touch his tongue, which is parched, of course, a parched tongue. But this small favor was denied him, really, since it is even impossible, you know, to anybody to pass either way, you know, to one compartment to the other. So that was denied. And the one-time rich man had one more request, according to the narration. Who Lazarus returned to testify to his five brethren who were still on earth? But the answer was in verse 31 of Luke, here is the answer. And the Bible says, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. See, I'm rather talking about witnessing too, you know. So we can look at this state of the law, and we can see something, the reality of those who say there is no hell or life after death, and all those kind of things. Let's see some things about this particular man, whether in Hades or hell. Now, one, the rich man, after death, had a spiritual body and spiritual senses. How do we know that? He was able to see, because in verse 23, the Bible says, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torment. So he was able to see, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. What can happen after death? He could hear. See? He heard what Abraham said to him, you know, in that chapter. Also, he could talk or communicate, for he begged Lazarus that he might come to him. He could taste, because we are told that he wanted water, right? And to apply to his tongue. He could feel, because he was tormented. See, torment, right? So, he had memory. Because Abraham said to him in verse 25, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime, what you did. You did so shortly and so on like that, you know. So he had memory, you know. Another thing we can talk about him, he had remorse because he wanted Lazarus to go and preach repentance to his five brethren. So you see, you know, all these things, they all gave this parable to really begin to narrate the spirit world. Praise God. And, you know, the hereafter, you know, for the wicked and the righteous alike, you know. So we see that dies, as I always call him, it's a lost soul. It's overwhelmed with remorse. He is also roused to evangelism. See? Praise God. Roused to evangelism, as well as that, you know. He is now fully convinced of the need of the gospel of repentance. He begs that Lazarus might warn his five brethren. But alas, the miracle of raising Lazarus from the dead could not be granted. See? Kudum. The Lord did raise one Lazarus before. Praise God. See, he did. In John chapter 11, as far as we know. And even then, the skeptics did not even repent. When they see Lazarus raised from the dead, all the Jews and so on, they probably didn't come to come and see him that was raised from the dead. They didn't believe. You know, as far as in John chapter 11. So we see that. So the living only is given the ministry of miracles. Eh? Praise God. So our prayer tonight, you know, as we witness for the Lord and so on, you know, our prayer tonight is that the church of the living God, you know, we may continue to enter into this ministry of the supernatural, that many might be brought to repentance, lest they go into this dark place called Hades or hell. Praise the Lord. Let us keep our eyes on the Lord. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, so and he doesn't say, I'm the Lord and I change it not. So, and where there are two compartments in there, in the Old Testament time, there are two compartments right there. Abraham, he was one side, and the wicked in the other side. So, what happened? So, it is to be observed that in the Old Testament times, even the righteous went to Hades at death. Yes? The thing is that they were separated from the wicked by an impassible God, according to the sayings of the Lord in that parable or whatever that is, you know. Christ at death went down into the heart of the earth, the Bible tells us, even the same place where the thief or the cross went. Because the Lord said in Luke 23, he told that thief, and he said, verily I say unto you, today shall thou be with me in paradise. Amen. Praise the Lord. So the Lord went to the heart of the earth, and he told that man. So paradise was down at that time, you know. So he said, and truly enough, so paradise was a place in which the righteous could rest and be at peace, you know. Still, Abraham boasted of paradise was not in the immediate presence of the Lord in the Old Testament and before the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That we know, you know. But in the New Testament, things changed when the Lord rose from the dead, you know. And the Bible tells us that when the Lord Jesus rose from the dead, he led captivity captive. Praise the Lord. And that's not only that. And that is Ephesians chapter 4, the 8th verse. Wherefore it says, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. But now that he ascended, what is it? But that he also descended forth into the lower part of the earth. See? And in verse 10, he that descended is the same also has ascended all far above all heaven, that he might fill all things. Praise the Lord. So what happened? The Lord snatched the keys of death from Satan, and who had the power of death. I love the Bible description. He used to have it, right? He no longer has it. Praise the Lord. That's in Hebrews 2:14, and I read that one also. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he, meaning the Lord Jesus, also himself, likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had another person, that had a power of death, that is the devil. Praise the Lord. Amen. And he took the captives who were in the compartment of the righteous in Hades and ascended with them into the third heaven, where they will abide until the fourth resurrection. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Wonderful word of God and so like that, you know. We know of Apostle Paul, you know, in his writings and so forth by divine inspiration, he was caught away to show you that paradise is no longer down. Amen. So in the narration and so on, that you know that he was caught away in the spirit to paradise. And he did not go down into the heart, but he was caught up, according to the scripture, or ascended to the third heaven. 2 Corinthians 12:2-4. I want to read that. So I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell, he said, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knows. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. And if you're wondering what the third heaven is, it's just a paradise. In verse 4, how that he was caught up into paradise, you know, and had unspeakable words, which is not even lawful for a man to utter. So we see that believers now who pass on to be with the Lord, they go immediately into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ when they sleep in the Lord, in the New Testament, since the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. No wonder the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5, see what I'm saying right now. It says, therefore, we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. But it says, we are confident, he said, I say, I'm willing rather to be absent from the Lord and to be present with the Lord. So, paradise, where it is now, is in the immediate presence of God, of the Lord Jesus Christ. No longer down, and down there, I don't know that, you know. But alas, the wicked still go down to Hades, praise God. When they die, they still do it, you know, but not the righteous, not the Christian, you know. So, where the rider of the fourth horse of Apocalypse, Revelation chapter 6, when he rides, that's what the Bible says in Revelation 6:8. You know, went through that before. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed him. And power was given to him, unto them, over the four parts of the earth, to kill it with the sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth and so on. So death and the hell fellow, as that you know. Now, here in Hades, the wicked will remain until the great white throne judgment. We will go into next time in the same 20th chapter of the book of Revelation. But that's why they're going to be in Hades. They will be there until the great white throne judgment. Now, that is part. We go by the Hades tonight. How about the bottomless pit? Which I read in the first three verses of the 20th chapter we are in right now. Here we are told how Satan is taken and bound with a great chain and cast into the bottomless pit, also called the abyss. You know, it happens in the Bible, you know. So the bottomless pit seems to be the abode of demon spirit. You know, we talk about that also in chapter 9 of Revelation through the trumpet, you know. Things like that, you know. In fact, I will read part of that right now. So the locust demon issue from the pit. So talking about the bottomless pit right now. So the locust demon issue from there in Revelation 9, the first few verses in there. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven onto the earth. And to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. See? And he opened the bottomless pit. And there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and upon them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power, you know. And verse 11 says, and they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue has its name as Apollyon. We spent a lot of time on that before. I don't want to go there. You know, these are spiritual things, not ordinary locusts, right? Even we are told in the book of Proverbs, the locusts, they have no king over them, right? So, maybe that's tonight and so on. So, also, not only that, the beast itself came out of the bottomless pit. Revelation 11:7. I want to read that very quickly. See, it's talking about the bottomless pit. And it says, and when they shall have finished their testimony, that is the two witnesses, right, of Revelation 11, you know. When they will have finished their testimony, the Bible says, and then the beast that ascended out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. We are also told that in another verse, 17th of Revelation, we are told the same thing, verse 8. The beast that thou sawest was, and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. See? And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not, and yet is. Just kind of reading the Bible verses about, you know, the pit and so on, who, you know, the abode of wicked spirits and so on, like that, you know. So we're not told to think of this chain, like we said before when we were there, you know, as being iron and metal and steel. No, these are spiritual things, you know. So really, so and you know, it's not made of physical substance and so on, like that, you know. They are spiritual things and so on. So the bottomless pit, as we have seen, is a place of confinement for evil spirits and evil angels. An actual force is used to change the devil. Needs to be. He is taken by the great angel, as we read, and thrust into the dark prison house of the pit. Satan is not only shut up in this underground prison, but he is confined with a chain to anticipate any possible attempt to escape. You know, in the past, you know, and so indeed, all precautions are taken this time around now. The abyss is not only locked, the angel having the key or the pit, but it was even sealed over, you know. Before now, Satan was given permission, you know. So Lucifer, who despite his several defeats, had always managed since the time of his rebellion to retain at least some liberty. We know that, you know. But now find himself checkmated completely at this time around. Praise the Lord. He himself knows that his time is short, right? 12:12. So he knows that, you know. So anyway, this terrible and depraved creature dedicated to evil at last found himself powerless to do harm. At that time, the only thing he can do is this. He knows that he will be released after 1,000 years, right? All the conditions will be planning what he will do again when he's released. Praise the Lord. The evil that he will do to mankind again. That's all he could do. He couldn't move around anymore for at least 1,000 years, you know. So, and you know that what he will be doing. So, the demons. So, more about this bottomless pit and so on. We are not told whether Satan's angels were confined with him, but how we think so. But the Bible didn't say that. So the demons that the Lord Jesus cast out apparently understood these things, amen, this prison house. Praise God. They do. You know, and when they told the Lord in Luke chapter 8 too, you know, hear what they said in verse 31. And they besought the Lord, saying that he would not command them to go into the deep. That is the prison house. Praise God. See? He wouldn't allow them. Evil angels will not be permitted any kind of a freedom in the millennium, amen. Mm-hmm. The King of Glory is reigning, amen. Yeah. So they have to be sealed away completely. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Yeah. See? Yeah. So, and no wonder, maybe a child without 100-year-old, right? Praise the Lord, you know. So, blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, the Old Testament also refers to this, you know, in the Bible is just so wonderful, it's the Word of God. There's no book like this book, amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah. You know, and we said it all the time. Every truth of the New Testament had a root in the Old Testament. Praise the Lord. Did the Old Testament speak about these things? Absolutely, yes. The Old Testament also refers to this event of the binding of Satan and his angels and shut them up in the pit during the millennium. Let's get some of those scriptures together. We always say this. Isaiah 24 to 28, we call the little apocalypse. Amen. Praise the Lord. Talk about anything to the millennium and to the great tribulation and so on like that. In those 4 or 5 chapters now, call it the little apocalypse. No wonder in 24th of Isaiah, let's see what it talks about the bottomless pit. Yes, verse 21 says, and it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall punish the hosts of the high ones that are on high, and the kings of the earth upon the earth. 22 says, and they shall be gathered together as prisoners are gathered in the pit, in the pit and so on, and shall be shut up in the prison, and after many days, they shall be visited. Look at that. He'll be released again. Praise the Lord. You know, and so from we can see from these verses in this chapter 24 that you know, substantially the Holy Ghost substantially put, you know, the story of Armageddon right here in those few verses and its aftermath. What is it? Satan is judged in the heavenlies. The kings of the earth, which follow the beast, are punished. The hosts of high ones are cast into the pit for a season. Bible says, after many days, they shall be revisited. That is, let out of the pit, you know, and they were in the book of Revelation. So we just leave the bottomless pit right there. Let's talk about the last one, the lake of fire. Then, so you see, just talking about the, you know, the abode of the wicked spirits, where these were cast, you know, at the bottom, and the cast initially, and so on. So we won't go to the rest of the book of Revelation chapter tonight. The white throne judgment, maybe next time, and so on. But let's see the lake of fire too, you know. Well, the lake of fire is that fearful place which is spoken of a number of times in the Bible, you know. Why Satan is cast into the bottomless pit to serve his time. See, to serve his time right there, you know. During the millennium, the beast and the false prophet are cast directly into the lake of fire. When we did in the 19th chapter, we talked about that, right? They didn't go to Hades, right? They go directly to the lake of fire. You know, unlike ordinary human beings. Why? They've been here before and so on. That, you know, so they didn't have to go through it. Just put in the lake of fire directly, you know. That's Revelation 19:20. You know, I think we got that before. Well, I can read it. We have a little time here. And the beast was taken. And with him, the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that have received the mark of the beast, and then that worship the image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. Then we also read that, of course, I read verse 20 of Revelation 20. After the 1,000 years are finished, Satan too will be sent to the lake of fire, Revelation 20:10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. Bible is always consistent, isn't it? And shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Well, in the 15th verse of Revelation 20, we are told that those whose names are not written in the Lamb's book of life will also be cast into the lake of fire. And we read like this: and whosoever was not found, you know, in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So, did the Old Testament talk about the lake of fire in any form or shape? Yes, absolutely. Again, the prophet, the Messianic prophet, I always call him, and so on. You know, what did he say? So in the Old Testament, the lake of fire is called Tophet. T-O-P-H-E-T. Called Tophet. And Isaiah 30:33 tells us about that. Let me read that. For Tophet is ordained of old. Yea. For the king it is prepared. He has made it deep and large. The pie thereof as you know is fire and much wood. The breath of the Lord, like a stream of brimstone, does kindle it. Praise the Lord. Amen. See? Even Jeremiah the prophet, you know, said the same thing. Jeremiah 7:31. And they have built the high places of Tophet. You know, that's what the lake of fire is called in the Old Testament. Which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to burn their sons and their daughters, you know, in the fire, which I commanded them not, neither came it into my heart. Therefore, behold, the days come, but as it is, the days come, say the Lord, that he shall no more be called Tophet, nor the valley of the son of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter, for they shall bury in Tophet till there be no place. So, in the New Testament, the lake of fire is also called Gehenna. That is, New Testament is called Gehenna in the New Testament, you know. It is the Gehenna fire. The Lord himself spoke of several times. And one of these instances is found in Matthew 10:28. That we can do very quickly. So it's called Gehenna fire in the New Testament, you know. Tophet in the Old Testament, same place. So Matthew 10:28, we read that the Bible says, Lord says, fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear them, or fear him rather, which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. that earth thing is called, you know, I think the tradition is Gehenna, you know. The Bible is talking about right there, you know. So, and then, again, you know, the Lord speaking what is solemn warning to human race, to the human race, you know. There's no inference here that the fire is remedial. No, not really, you know. The play, no implication is that both soul and body are irrevocably destroyed, according to the word of the Lord here, you know. So, and we also know the Lord declared that this place of doom was to be made, I mean, wasn't made for man really, you know. It was made for the devil and his angels. See? Originally, Matthew 25, you know, 2041. Then shall he say, unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye called unto everlasting fire, prepare for the devil and his angels. Verse 46 says, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Praise the Lord. Now, you know, something to observe here, you know. So, the Lord used three languages about where the righteous is, mentioned eternal life. Because to the wicked, he never used the word eternal. Not really. From what you just read right now, you know. So, because, So the question was that how long will these folks, Satan, the false prophet, the beast, and all those who worship the unknown, how long will they be in that lake of fire for? We don't know. He didn't tell us how long. But I think the Lord give us something here we can think about, really. No dogmatism here, really, you know. For how long will the beast, the false prophet, Satan, and those that cast into the lake of fire be there for? We don't know. But let's look between the lines. What we just read, you know, in the scripture and so on and that, you know. As you have read, the beast and the false prophet are cast into the lake of fire in Revelation 19:20. Then we know that 1,000 years later, they were still there. When Satan himself was cast into the lake of fire, the Bible tells us that the false prophet and the beast were still there after 1,000 years. You can see that in Revelation 20:10, right? And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and Bristol, where the beast and the false prophet are. They were still there after 1,000 years, right? And shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Well, here the scripture says that they shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. I want to be careful about the word the Bible used here right now, you know. So, and of course, in Matthew 25, 41 and 46, the Lord said to the wicked that, you know, they shall go to everlasting fire and everlasting punishment. See? But the righteous to life eternal. Never was the time eternal used for the wicked. Not one time. He used everlasting. He used forever. So the righteous, he used the word eternal. I mean, it's a food for thought, really, you know. So in summary, what I'm saying is this. The word forever and ever. Everlasting fire and so on, that, you know, and everlasting punishment were used in connection with the wicked, you know, the lake of fire. But to the righteous, the word life eternal was used, you know. I think the Lord wasn't making a mistake. Why did he use the same word for both places, you know? I mean, why did he separate forever and ever and everlasting from eternal? See? So it's a really fruit of thought. And some people are talking about this a lot. I don't want to, you know, argument and so on like that, you know, but I think there must be a difference and so on, you know. One meaning, one dictionary definition of eternal is this: without end or beginning. That's one definition of eternal. Praise the Lord. See? No, that one is never used concerning lake of fire or anything like that. Only to the righteous or the Lord himself. In fact, let me just finish up tonight. You know, we have children here many times, as long as that, you know, or young people, as long as that, you know, not to be confused or to be afraid, as long as that, you know. So, now the thing is this. Since everlasting or forever, as far as we know here, are used differently, you know, from eternal, there must be a difference, you know. That's my thought. There must be a difference. And in finishing up tonight, so just talking about this abode of the wicked and so on, just to get us started with the 20th chapter of the book of Revelation before we go to it proper. So now we know that, let's finish up eternal life, that to which appertains to us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes, sir. That appertains to us. So eternal life for us, I mean the righteous, the children of the Lord. Let me read some scripture here tonight and finish right here tonight so that we go on a positive note. Amen. Praise God. Now, in 1 John 1:2, you are told, For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life. See? Even the Christ is referred to as eternal life, you know? That eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That's not the end of it, in 1 John 2:25. And this is the promise that he has promised us, even eternal life. See? Got two more. In 1 John 5:11. And this is the record that God has given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. See? John the Apostle, in the Epistle and so on. So also in 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you, that belief on the Son, of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. Not that we have eternal life. We already have eternal life, amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. According to the word of God, right? Praise the Lord. We already have eternal life. I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And lastly, let me give you two scripture here in John 10:28. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Amen. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. As our brother begins to testify of witnessing, and so we now see why we should be bold in our testimony, amen, and witnessing. Praise the Lord. Who, by the grace of God, some can be drawn out as by fire, amen, from all this wicked, this abode of the wicked, and so at the end of time. We can see the implication now. So, Father, we thank you tonight in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord God, for the revelation of your word unto us. To the word. So it is in parables. But to us, whom you have called and chosen before the world began, you speak to us face to face and mouth to mouth in the name of the Lord Jesus. Not in parables. So we thank you, Father. To the intent, O Lord God, we may know and understand your mission, Lord, to save humanity and to follow your command to preach the gospel unto all nations. Amen. Before the end call, in the name of the Lord Jesus. And to have abundant joy, even in ourselves, that we have passed from death unto life, in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. This is the joy we take to the rest of the world. Lord, we worship and we adore you tonight. We thank you for your little time we spend in your word. Even as we go tonight, Lord, you see, the Holy Ghost, let even expand this thought to us, Lord. See, as we went with them on the way to Emmaus, Lord. As we open our heart, this Bible is a will within a will. We can read it a million times. And God still has new things he can reveal to us. Let it be so as we go tonight, Lord. Father, we ask in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. So, we're going to go into the prayer session now. So, any prayer request, Brother Charles, please. You know, just take this prayer.